Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Business of Music podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about owning and growing a music business. My name is Elliot Towsley, and my business partner James Landry and I are your hosts. Shoot us an email to contact@denovoagency.com so we can answer your questions on our next podcast. And to learn even more, subscribe to our YouTube channel and sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Business of Music podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Business of Music podcast. Today is Thursday, April 22nd. It is the 27th episode, I believe, of the Business of Music podcast. In the last episode, James couldn't remember the name of the podcast. So I'm glad that we're on the same page now. And today, what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about two things. First and foremost, a lot of clients and musicians have been asking us about something that Apple Music came out and released. They put out this big press release. I think it might have been as part of, like, you know, Apple has these semi-annual or quarterly, you know, kind of roo-ha conferences for their investors and for their employees and all that kind of stuff. And I think at their most recent one, granted with COVID and everything, they probably haven't had them in a while. But at long story short, that's not the important part. Apple Music has come out and said that they have the average payout per stream that they give to artists is a penny, which, whoa, but it doesn't sound like a lot. But I mean, Spotify is like 0.006. So this would be like almost three times as high as
double.
Double. Yeah. Not a math guy, but long story short is Apple Music has come out and said that on average, they pay out about a penny for every stream on Apple Music. And we're going to talk about at the beginning, that sounds great, but there's a lot of things in there that doesn't necessarily mean every artist is collecting one penny per stream, per royalty. So we're going to talk a little bit about what that actually means. What do they mean when they say the average payout is a penny per stream? And we're going to talk about how to collect all of those royalties as an independent artist, because what Apple Music doesn't say is they pay out one penny per stream, but it doesn't all go to you. So who does it go to? We're going to break that down with James. And I think James knows a lot more of the details about this than I do. So I'll turn it on over to him.
Yeah. So Apple Music, it was during their, like you said, their annual meeting or whatever with the investors. And them coming out and saying we pay a penny per stream was largely showing people like we are better than we're nicer to artists. They're trying to be the good guys in the streaming industry. First of all, Apple Music can do this because Apple Music isn't Apple's way of making money. Apple makes money from everything else, so they can pay a little bit more. Spotify, likely, if they tried to pay a penny, they would. The CEO would take a pay cut. Someone would lose money somewhere. I'm not going to say they wouldn't be able to survive like other people say, but it would mean people wouldn't pocket as much money. That's why Spotify is so much lower. Now, this penny that Apple Music's talking about, you're not going to get that full penny from your distributor. This is what they've always been paying, allegedly, is what Apple's saying. It's an average, meaning some people... Some labels will take a little bit more of a cut to have their music on Apple Music. Some will take less. If you don't listen to the full song or if it's streamed for free compared to a paid user. So during that 3-month trial everyone gets, those streams are less valuable than once they start to pay. So that's why it's an average of a penny per stream, because you may not see a penny per stream, but on average of all of your streams on Apple Music, you should be getting about a penny. Now, that penny, like I said, is not coming from your distributor. You will not get that full penny from your distributor. Now, I don't have the exact percentages of where the money goes, but in general, half of the money will come to you through your distributor, because there's two copyrights here. Half of it is being paid sound recording, your master sound recording. So your distributor is collecting that money for you and paying you that after they take their car or whoever you use does what they do. The other half is the composition copyright, the mechanical copyright, some people, or the writer's share of the copyright, publisher share. There's so many different names. It's the other half of the copyright. That half goes to two different places. It goes to your pro for the performance royalty, and it goes to Harry Fox Agency for the mechanical royalty. So if you think about it, you got three places your penny has gone. 50% of it has gone to you. The other 50% is being split in half and going to Harry Fox and your pro. Let's just say it's ASCAP. If it's ASCAP, they're taking 15% off the top and then giving you the rest. I think it's 15. Don't quote me on that. Harry Fox is taking 12% off the top and giving you the rest. If you're signed up, if you qualify, is the issue here. A lot of people aren't signed up for Harry Fox Agency, so they're not even getting that money. And then there's the other half of ASCAP too. ASCAP also splits the money in two. They're going to give the writer share and the publisher share. So if you're only signed up as a writer, you're not going to get the publisher share of that copyright payment. So it's, if you have a little decision tree, if I had like a whiteboard and an iPad here, I'd draw it. It's starting at the top with Apple Music. It's going one side distributor. The other side, it's going your pro and Harry Fox. And then your pro is also splitting in half. A lot of people won't qualify for Harry Fox Agency. So if you're not going to qualify for Harry Fox Agency because you don't have a publishing company or your catalog is not big enough, another option is signing up with someone like SongTrust, who will try to do all of that for you. And then they're going to take a cut on top of your sign-up fee with them. Signing up for SongTrust, though, still doesn't get you the publisher's share of your pro. So you can sign up for SongTrust, and they'll sign you up for a pro and get you your Harry Fox royalties, but you're still missing out on that little chunk of money. In this example, if it's a full penny, I'd say it's like 15% of all the money. You're leaving in the pro, in the writer, the publisher's share that's not paid to the writer. So the average artist, I would say, is collecting 50% of all their royalties that they're getting paid.
Yeah, that's really confusing. Not like, yeah, not you, like the system is, that seems pretty ridiculous. Because
it's designed in a way that people are holding money until you finally figure out that you are owed
it. Yeah. So, okay. So what, that money is just held in escrow? I doubt it.
Yeah, no, I would say this is where ASCAP and BMI are making money.
Because
if you think about it, they're making interest off all this money that's sitting in account. If you don't set up your publishing company correctly, if you don't hire an attorney to like walk you through this and set it all up to get you all of your money that's everywhere, you won't get it. And on your way down, every level you go down, people are just taking cuts. So you're just slowly, and you don't have a choice with Harry Fox Agency. Your pro, you do. You could go to someone other than ASCAP and BMI, and then they may not take a cut. But yeah, it's designed in a way that these companies are sitting on money. It may be Spotify, MLC. That's why the music license, MLC, Music License Collective, was formed.
So it's like literally impossible to get 100% of your royalties, like no matter what.
Yes.
What the fuck?
Unless you are big enough and you are able to sign up and avoid Harry Fox Agency, but no one can.
How are they?
It's a monopoly.
Yeah. How is that legal?
Yeah. It's a little monopoly they've got going on in the US because of the copyright laws in 1979, I believe. It might have been 82. Well,
think of how many artists out there that even a few thousand streams, like, okay, say I'm an artist and I've got my album has 5,000 streams on it. How many artists out there do you think that are like that, that just aren't going to take the time to go set up ASCAP or a BMI account? And like all that, but
the cost, like, it is too.
Right.
Like, why would I go pay, if you're BMI and you want to sign up as a publisher to collect that other little cut, it's $250. As an LLC, which you're likely an LLC. ASCAP's only 50, but okay, there's another cut. And then that's not even Harry Fox. No one's signing up for Harry Fox. People don't qualify.
I don't even know if I've ever heard of them until today.
Yeah. It's not, nothing here, and everyone makes it seem like, oh, you'll collect all of your money through your distributor. You won't. No distributor will collect all your money for you because it's not paid to them. They don't do it. We would have to go sign up for Harry Fox and register every song through Harry Fox with special permissions from every artist that uses Songflyer in order to collect just a little bit more. We still can't collect the performance royalties for artists.
Yeah, can you explain a little bit more about how, so the different type of royalties, there's mechanical and, or what, there's the composition and then there's performance.
There's so the sound recording and there's the composition.
Right. So can you explain more about how, even if someone is just streaming it on Spotify, like why it's split up?
Yep. So on Spotify, Spotify is a good example, because so there's two different ways that it's split up. There's either a copy made when streaming it or there's not a copy made when streaming it. Meaning Spotify, there's a copy of the song that gets put on your phone to listen to it. You can download the songs and save them to your phone and allows you to copy the song and stream it. Pandora, you can't. So that copying process means different payments to different people. That copying process is when a mechanical royalty is due. So you will get mechanical royalties for your streams on Spotify, but you will not for Pandora, for example.
Okay. I don't think that's something. Most of it
is master sound recording. But yeah. What were you saying?
I think that's something most artists don't know.
No.
I don't think I knew that until like a year ago or 2 years ago. Like, you just kind of assume, oh yeah, well, when people listen to my song on Spotify, it's straightforward. I get this many, you know, this penny per stream, but it's not. And of course, you know, they're not out there parading this. Instead, they're parading things like the top, the frosting of the cake is we pay on average a penny. That's the state of the music industry on streaming, that like paying a penny is big fucking news. Wow, we pay a penny, a penny per a stream. Wow.
Yeah.
And, but it just goes, sorry, my dog is kicking my microphone. He doesn't like it there. But I mean, Spotify pays a little bit more than half of that. So, I mean, Spotify still owns like 2/3 of the market in the United States. But it is interesting that you say, one of the big points that you make is that Apple like has many other products and services and many other streams of revenue. So like, in a way, they can afford to like be nice to the artist. But like, I don't think people really care. And it's interesting that, you know, to a point, why wouldn't Apple just be like, hey, look, if Spotify is paying 0.06, why don't we just match them? What's the difference?
Yeah, I think the people listening don't care.
No.
Before I got into music, when I was, before I did this, I didn't care how much each person was making when I listened to their music.
No.
I was like, hey, I like this song. Like, cool, let's listen to it. Largely, I think Apple Music could. What's stopping them is, I don't know. Maybe it helps them get sponsorships from artists. Maybe they're able to get some artists to, or there has to be, I'm sure there's a reason, is the best thing I can say. Like, there is some reason they do it. Like, they wouldn't just give away more money without needing to, or having some benefit from doing it. And this works. Look at what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're sitting here talking about
Look at all these artists that I've had. I've had people ask me. I've had clients email me and go, hey, can we audit my distribution company? It doesn't look like I'm getting paid my full penny.
Look, I got 1,214 streams of my song and I need all those fucking pennies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we could audit them. It will show them. They paid you everything that they owed you. You'll lose money because you owe me money at this point. And then I would explain to you why you don't have all of your money, because it's not there.
Because I have most of it now. Goodbye. Okay, but can you said there's a couple other things you mentioned where like they claim that there's no higher or less royalty payout for editorial playlists and things like that, or, you know, Now, this probably might go hand in hand with the whole like, hey, you know, we can't pay you. We're not going to pay you extra to sponsor you, but you just make more than you would by going to Spotify. So you should let us sponsor you kind of thing.
I think a lot of this is Apple Music knows that independent artists will tell people to listen to their music on a certain platform. And that really is free advertising, even if people don't listen. Like when we have artists do it all the time. Hey, stream my newest song on Tidal. Why? It's on Tidal.
Well, of course they
stream my newest. I hear more about Tidal from artists than I do Tidal. I don't know the last time I saw a Tidal ad. And I think what Apple Music really did and make all this public and like say like, hey, if you're on an editorial playlist, you still get paid the same. I think they're doing it largely to get artists to start going, oh, we should tell people to use Apple Music, or I should use Apple Music too. That way, when I listen to my own song, I get paid more.
Maybe.
I think it, like making it public, the whole process of paying more, I don't think there was other reasons. They were always above. They were always around this area.
Well, Apple,
if anything, it may have gone down.
Apple has, ever since they like became, because Apple wasn't always Apple for like the young kids out there. Like they didn't have iPhones until I was like, oh God, I don't know how old, 17. But I mean, I remember when I got my first iPod, that was like in middle school. And like that was when they really started to grow. And then like everyone was like, man, I got to get an iMac. Like these things are fucking fresh. But they were more expensive. They were always more like on the creative side of things. So I think part of it is, I think it'd be really easy for Apple to be the bad guy, to be the big evil corporation, especially in terms of Apple Music directly. Like it'd be really easy for people to be like, look, they're not paying their artists anything. Like it's just a big tech company trying to get a bunch of money. But just this paying a little bit more than Spotify, now Spotify's the bad guy. Spotify's the big evil music machine. So it's very interesting because, I mean, I have a hard time, because even if a bunch of artists, we've talked about this before, even if a bunch of artists are telling people to listen to them on Apple Music, are they not going to put their music on Spotify now? I don't think so. And it's not about the artists, it's about the people listening. I think you made a good point with, okay, maybe if I'm an artist, if I listen to my own music on Apple Music, I'll end up getting twice as much royalties. I think there's maybe a point there. But how many people are going to switch to, how many times do you need to listen to your own music? You know, you listen to it 100 times and that's a dollar. Like, okay.
I just went back. February 28th, 2019, we made a post. Apple Music at that time was paying 1.2 cents per stream. So they've actually gone down compared to what they used to pay. But right, they're advertising it because they know they're still higher.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. Because, I mean, one, streaming royalties aren't shit anywhere. And this, I mean, if Tidal tomorrow said that we're going to pay a dollar per stream, what do you, like, I don't think any casual listener or consumer is going to say, wow, awesome, I'm going to switch now. Like, because they don't care. And we've talked about this before too. The casual listener assumes, like, when they're listening to an artist that they assume is really, you know, famous and a professional musician playing shows, the idea is in their head that you're a famous, rich musician. What do you need? Who cares if you're getting 0.6 or a penny? Mm-hmm. Like, you're a famous musician. You're making music. You must be having a lot of money. I think a lot of people lose the, you know, it's almost like how many people are in the NFL compared to how many people play football just on some level in the country. Like, mm-hmm. It could be the same kind of, you're a football player. What do you mean you need money for? Like, you don't need any extra money. You're a professional football player. It's like, well, I could be Tom Brady, or I could be like the bench third string safety.
They even do it to college football players.
Yeah, right. College, yeah, exactly. You're fine. Yeah.
Like, what do you mean you need to get paid? Your own scholarship.
Good point. Yeah.
How do you live? Like,
yeah, I think a lot of people lose sight of the fact that most of their favorite musicians, if they're not absolute legends or from the 70s, like most of them are likely not big millionaires And this could, you know, increasing the royalties. This is why so many musicians are getting behind this, not purely because of like a greed thing or they want just more money, but there's many musicians who this is their, you know, livelihood.
I don't think people realize that the impact COVID had on how much money musicians made. Next year, we're going to, in the upcoming year, we're going to see numbers released for how much money was made last year per artist. Labels, I'm sure, did okay, but even they're going to take a dip. Music, money made in music is made from merchandise and performing, not from streaming or CD sales anymore. We don't have them anymore. So all money last year made in music was streaming. They didn't make much money. No one knows that. Oh, they're still on the radio. They're signed. They're fine.
Right.
Yeah, they may be okay, but they're not making as much money as you think. And by the listeners not caring and assuming that, labels haven't been able to control artists the way they do forever. Because labels can give artists $250,000 a year and say, oh, if you make it back, we'll pay you more, but you're not going to make it back because of the structure. And people aren't going to make sure you make it back. They're not going to help you. So the label's able to pocket the money, put all this money away. And it's, we've talked about it. I know we just talked about it not long ago. Like, even if you made a new streaming platform that paid artists based on like SoundCloud, based on how much attention they have,
right,
it's not going to survive if people don't care. And most people don't care. People have habits. They don't care. They want to take the same route to work every day. And if there's an accident, they're still going to sit in that traffic and wait.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you guys are listening, you know, comment on this video and shoot us an email. Like, would you change where you listen to your music based on how artist friendly they were, or at what point does Spotify become so unfriendly? Do you say, I'm not doing that, I don't want to support them anymore? That's a good question. But yeah. Apple Music, Penny.
Yeah. I was going to say, this kind of goes into the next subject. We'll take a break in a second before it, but this is why Spotify is trying to get ahead of the game with these patents and stuff. We'll kind of touch on what Spotify is doing to keep you in your habit, keep you just relying on them to find new music, to do things. Because the more ingrained you are, the less likely you are to leave. Same with someone like CD Baby. If you're an artist, think about what CD Baby did. They had everyone paying a flat rate, and then all of a sudden, they just started taking 9%.
Yeah. That's true.
And people didn't leave because it's just there. It's already there. It's easy. And it's just, well, my music's already there. It's too difficult to leave. If you haven't left CD Baby, why do you think a listener is going to leave their streaming platform for your music?
Yep. So more on the patents of Spotify, the recent things that they have filed for. And we'll preface it by saying, remember, Spotify is a tech company in music, not a music company in tech. We'll be right back after this.
The Business of Music Podcast, presented by DeNoval Agency. DeNovalAgency.com.
If you are an independent recording artist, we know that you're fed up with unnecessary fees and giving away your royalties to a music distributor. Songflower introduces lifetime distribution, the most artist-friendly way to release music. It's just $10 for a single, $20 for an EP, and $30 for an album to have Songflower distribute your music for life to all of the streaming platforms that you need to be on. Songflower never charges you any upgrades or hidden fees, and they will never take one penny of your royalties. Check out songflower.com to see why lifetime distribution is the right move for you and your music business.
The Business of Music Podcast.
All right, here we are. We're back. I got the sun out of my face. I'm feeling a lot better. We're going to talk about some of the patents that Spotify has filed for recently. And James will go over what a patent is, just for anyone who doesn't know. There is a difference between a patent, a copyright, and a trademark. They're perhaps cousins in the same family tree, but they are different. And we're going to talk about the patents that Spotify has filed for. And these are patents to use their technology, use the information on their app in a particular way. And just like we said going into the break, Spotify is a tech company in music. They are not a music company in tech. So that means when you think of Spotify and you think of their application in their, you know, in their company, what they're selling, you think of Facebook, think of Instagram, or YouTube, I guess. Like, they're taking the information, they're creating all of these audiences, right? These people, because they can say, hey, they like, I don't know for a fact, but they likely take your information and they can sell it to advertisers. And things like people who listen to this artist at 4:30 are the most likely to go to McDonald's after and sell that. And like, just because what they're, in a way, part of their revenue is using us as experiments, lab mice. Hey, we have all of this data. These mice behave this way. Give them this. So, okay, that's my my ramp up into this. But James, can you go over briefly what a patent is? And then can you go over the three or four that you sent to me that Spotify is rolling out?
Yeah. So first of all, patent is what is most commonly used for technology or inventions to protect them from other people copying them exactly and reselling them. It happens a lot in medicine. If you want to think about something like Viagra, wasn't Viagra just became, I think it's Viagra. Yeah, that's why Hims is so big now. Have you seen those commercials or Hims?
Oh, I have.
That's,
yeah.
That's what they're selling was ED medicine. It was generic ED medicine because Viagra is no longer protected. And now anyone can just copy the exact recipe, for example. That's why insulin can be so expensive at times. Same thing happens with inventions. Yeah. The same thing happens with like a MacBook. Because once you buy a MacBook, it's very easy for someone to take it apart and remake it and like copy it. And we don't want people, what that would do is discourage future inventions and investments in research. Because you'd keep it to yourself. Like if you made a Mac and you wanted to beat everyone online, now you have a Mac and no one else does. So in order to encourage sales and actually allowing the public to use stuff, we allow them to protect it with a patent. Patents, obviously, just like everything, if you change a little bit, you can kind of have a competitor. It doesn't have to be exact. Lime scooters and bird scooters are the same thing, but they're not. And that's kind of how patents work. So none of this means like no one else can do what Spotify is going to do. It means no one else can do what Spotify is going to do in the way Spotify is doing it.
On the Spotify application in a way, right? Or does that not matter?
They're not even saying that. They're just saying in general. These are all because if they're, I'm assuming the lawyer is smart enough not to limit it. You don't want to limit it that much.
Yeah.
Keep it more broad. In general, we are going to do XYZ. Most patent applications, if anyone's bored, like really bored, are identical. Like the changes between them are minimal. They're minuscule. But the process of patenting it means you're protecting, even if it never comes to life, you've protected it. So the moment you have a least viable option, you're going to file for a patent to protect it. The moment you have an artist name that no one else is using, I would say we're filing for a trademark. If I was your attorney, I'd be, well, no one else has this. Let's make sure no one else does use it. You minimize dilution. Obviously, patent, trademark, copyright, like you said, they are different. But patents are the best way, easiest way to think of patents are inventions. Trademark, it's protecting the source of an item, and a copyright is protecting artistic works. That's the most basic level, I'd say, to think of those three. There's a lot of copyrights and trademarks that can go either way. A lot of, you'll see companies trademark a saying when it's also copywritten technically. So like they'll do both, sometimes, but that's for a whole different day. Today, patent, Spotify. We did kind of touch on this before it was filed. The rumor that Spotify was doing a speech recognition, that officially. That was one of the first ones. That's one of the biggest ones right now everyone's talking about. And pretty much what they're suggesting is they're looking at environments around the listener. Are they on a bus? Are they at a party? Are they alone? What time is it? Do they sound happy, cheerful, optimistic?
Alexa, play Adele.
Are they angry?
Fucking play Eminem now.
And they're already looking at things like age and gender and stuff like that. But what they're doing is expanding on it. They're trying to figure out your emotional state so they can recognize, they can recommend music for that. There's actually a protest going on. Stop Spotify surveillance is the protest that's going on. People are mad about it. And Spotify's like, we're not doing this yet. Don't worry. Like, this may never happen. Bull. But in general, everyone's doing this. Pick up your phone right now and unlock it and say you want to, you're looking at buying a new lawnmower. And I almost guarantee you within 30 minutes, you'll have an ad. Or if you have an Alexa in the room, you'll probably have ads shortly, depending on your Wi-Fi setup and what you use. Spotify is just trying to do it their way. They're trying to build the AI for recommending music on their app. Again, keeping people happy. If they recommend the right music, they're not going to leave. I was just talking to a guy, I think it was yesterday. He was like, yeah, my kids got me to switch off of Pandora to Spotify. I don't like it. I can't stand it. It's just not the same. And that's how resistant people are to change. And I kind of explained to him radio stations and how you can just hit next without paying for like unlimited. But they don't want that. They want to keep you in. Another patent, karaoke feature. Pretty much, it would allow you to put any words over any track that you want on the app. Tencent has, they say, has, how many is it? Let me get it. 10 million recordings a day from people doing this.
Just singing along.
Just doing their own vocals, singing along, doing, because technically you don't have to follow the words. They're going to show you the words.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Tencent has 10 million recordings per day.
Yeah, and there'll be...
Then what they're doing in this... So Tencent is called WeSing. It's an app. We could download it. What they're doing with this, which is crazy to me, is they... Spotify is making a program that goes through the recordings to find talent.
Interesting.
So yeah, if the AI thinks that you sound decent, you have a chance to get pulled out.
Can you? That's weird.
Yeah.
That's some Big Brother shit. Oh, I was singing in the shower and Sony Records called me and here with you. Here I am. Holy shit. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That.
Well, I bet even that to me seems like a long shot, but I bet there's going to be some sort of feature where, you know, you record it, record yourself singing, share to TikTok. Share the fake, like
100%.
It'll have the thing with Spotify. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It'll show
Spotify,
the lyrics. It's almost like Instagram shows lyrics. Spotify can show lyrics. Don't have show to, your face, record.
Yeah. Uh huh. And you sing along to it. Yep. That's going to be part of it for sure. And it's going to say Spotify karaoke and then a little tag on it or something like that. Yeah. Spotify.
If I had to guess, there'd be some right to it. So, like, you can't, someone else can't copy and use it for commercials or they'll. They'll make sure they make their money off of it. You're probably going to give away your image. If you use TikTok now, you give away your image on TikTok. Instagram, you give away your images. TikTok, you could be in a commercial tomorrow. Elliot, you literally, they could pull one of our videos off TikTok and put you on a TikTok commercial without asking because they make sure.
Yeah, because we used on that. The,
And that's, I'm guessing Spotify will have the same type of language. Those would pay royalties. If someone did use your song, you need to pay for the master sound recording and you probably need to pay for the composition if you're using the same lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Well, so this is something artists would be in support of, you think, if they're going to get paid. Just the same as like they want people to do TikToks to their fucking song. Trust me. People want their fans to sing, to do a karaoke to, you know, how many people are going to do the I Will Always Love You, like someone tries to hit that high note and then like people who like do it in a funny way to like who will never ever get that high note. There's going to be a lot of things like that, like famous parts of songs that are like really hard to sing. Mm-hmm. Or what about, maybe guitar solos or something where it's like karaoke, but some guy can just jam his guitar along to it. Same with drums, maybe. Yeah. So that's really interesting. But I mean, So now the thing is Spotify right now is collecting data when you use the app. Its app is its data pool. But now with these things like, oh, we want to also like, you know, listen in to now because you're creating the data, but right now you're manually doing it. You are the data. You're the lab mouse. Mm-hmm. So it just wants another tool to observe you in your natural state to see what does this lab mouse do when we give it this stimuli. Mm-hmm. That's literally what it is. And it's not like they're sitting up there like they're evil and they're looking
how can we manipulate.
Yeah, right. It's not that. But like it is naive to think that they're sitting here like going, you know what? Well, we do have 180 million people using our app every single day. And you know what? We have all this data. And you know what? Just to be nice, we're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
No. Well, like, come on.
So those are the first two. We're only at two of these things. Number three, geo-targeted audio ads. Meaning they want to be able to have a business advertise to you if you're nearby. And they want the ad to sound like it's coming from the business. So if you're walking down the road and you walk by a shoe store and you have your headphones on listening to music, the next ad would sound like it's coming from the shoe store to your right.
For free users, right?
I assume, yes, because that's the only people who get ads now. But it would also allow them to show you ads from nearby stores. This is a reason. So Apple's last update, I'm sure everyone noticed, the iPhones are like, do you want to share Bluetooth access to? And they gave you like everything. He's like, do you want to give me Uber Eats Bluetooth access? I was like, why would I do that? Like what Apple did was make businesses disclose that information because before they were using Bluetooth so they could ping where you were. It's like Disney's famous for this. They know where everyone is in the park just from that little wristband people wear. But if you don't have the wristband, they still want to ping you. So if you have the app, what they can do is ping you through Bluetooth. But if you shut off so they literally have like footsteps. Spotify is kind of looking at doing that. Spotify asks for Bluetooth and everyone's like, yeah, sure, because headphones and stuff like that. But really what Spotify can use it for is beacons, Bluetooth beacons across cities and stuff and do this stuff. Oh, okay. They're on 41st and 3rd in New York. So I'm going to give them, that's not even a road because those are both odd numbers, whatever. So I'm going to give them this ad. Yeah.
That sounds Yeah, I'm actually in a way, I'm kind of surprised they don't do that already. I mean, Spotify can do that or Snapchat can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Snapchat lets people buy out like a spot. And
At this address, this here, it's so-and-so's birthday. We're having a barbecue. So anyone around here can do this. Yeah. I'm actually surprised they don't do that already. What that reminds me of is the thing at the end of The Dark Knight. Where Bruce Wayne is like, we're gonna use every phone in the city. We're gonna map it. And then Morgan Freeman is like, Mr. Wayne, like if this is here tomorrow, I won't be. And he's like, you can destroy it after. But it's like, and he can see, uses all the cell phones and all the things to like paint a picture of the city so he can like, you know, find the Joker. That's literally what this is gonna be. Use every Bluetooth device in the city to paint a picture and say, they're right here.
Yeah, they listen to music here, show them this ad for this store.
So the Starbucks wants to make sure they stop. Or it's going to be like, oh, they're heading this way. There's a McDonald's in a half a mile. Send them the McDonald's ad.
Yeah.
So that Waze in 8 minutes, they'll see it. Yeah.
It's like Waze. It'll pop up. It'll be like, and then Waze even has a ball. Like, did you see any of these ads?
Well, tell us about one. All of this data, a lot of this data is so that ads don't. Great advertising doesn't work on what you've done. It predicts what you're gonna do and what you're going to want. So like these kinds of things are, oh, you're walking down West Street and you're, you know, okay, well, we bet you're going to be thirsty and there's a Starbucks up here. So we're going to show you the ad for that Starbucks so that in 5 minutes you go, turn right in that. It's not about, oh, you saw Starbucks a half a mile ago. Let's show you the ad. So you turn around. It's about, well, if he's here, where do we think he's going? Here. Show him the Frosty ad. Something
and
like
it's
that.
It's not even like they're going to, we tell artists too, like you need to grow awareness. And what they're doing is trying to make you aware. Like oh, he might be thirsty. Show him Starbucks so that when he goes, I am thirsty, and looks, it's Starbucks. Mm-hmm. Where is a Starbucks? There it is. It's not the ad. We tell artists the same thing. Like, if you end up on Discover Weekly, if they've never heard of you, they're not going to listen to your music. That's why you need to be running these ads. You need to get them to be like, oh, I want to look for new music. I've heard of this guy. Let's give this guy a chance because there he is. Not, I'm going to go find them. They never, people, some people do use ads. Most people don't go searching for new artists. They, if it's put in front of them, they'll listen. And that's what ads help with. And so the last two Spotify ones, they're trying to, you know how like you can say, hey Siri, and people's phones will go off. Like, I mine shut off, but they want to do that with Spotify. And they want to have people.
Why? They're, that seems like a huge waste of money, because Siri and Alexa are just tied into Spotify anyway. And Spotify doesn't have its own device or its own speaker. Why develop your thing? What? That seems like a waste of money. Whatever. Okay, what's the next one?
And then the last one is a car device that you can put in your car and stream Spotify. It's almost like XM radio for you. You remember when people would put those little Sirius XM radios in their car? That's what it is for Spotify.
What, for like the people who are still driving 2002 Honda Civics? Or
pretty much. Like,
doesn't like most, don't most new cars have Apple CarPlay now, or like some sort of thing where you can just
at least Bluetooth
plug in? Yeah. Okay. All right. So the first three I like. The last two seem dumb. But the thing is just these don't necessarily mean that they're pursuing these things. They just want maybe to leave the door open, or to perhaps stop somebody else from pursuing something similar.
There's a lot of money in patents that get made that encompass something that someone else needs. So that car device, something inside of it, someone else may want it.
Now they have to license it. And now they have to
buy it out or license it from them. So there's a lot, of patents out there that they just file in and try to, how much can you get in? Medicine's the biggest one. People jump, there's medicine patents. I bet you people are filing stuff on COVID. Trying to get to a vaccine combination.
Well, I know
there's a lot of money in that.
For medicine, I know like a lot of like what you hear with these like synthetic marijuana things or synthetic drugs, like because it's a chemical compound, right? So I don't know much about chemistry. Say hypothetically, they're using carbon 13 to make this thing. And then after a while, a lot of people get sick with the synthetic drug, and then they're like, okay, this formula is illegal. Well, then they just, okay. And then they make a carbon 14, start again. And now you got to go through the whole thing again, because it's a new drug. It's it's new. It's technically different. And like, so that kind of is somewhat related, but it's just to show that you just, the slightest difference in the patent makes it different. And now you got to go through the whole process again of, you know, filing for the patent, and then, but there's a lot of, you can't just infringe upon a patent on Monday and then Friday the court says, you're right, you infringed, this is over with. Like, it could probably, it could take 10 years.
Yeah. Well, look at Samsung and Apple's big lawsuit. That took forever. And the court didn't stop Apple from using it until like pretty much the end. Like, I'm pretty sure Apple never got a temporary restraining order placed on them to stop. That's what you'd go after. I'm not a patent attorney. People who are patent attorneys all have hard science backgrounds. You have to have a hard science degree, like a physical science degree, to be a patent attorney. It's interesting.
Like engineers or something?
Yeah, I was told, I had a law professor, it's funny, actually tell me I should go get a online master's in plate tectonics that I could do. He goes, you can get it done this summer, you'd be done, and then you'd be able to be a patent attorney, because patent attorneys make a lot of money. Like, because think about what they're doing. They're just filing the same paperwork over and over again.
Yeah, right.
And there's a separate bar for patent. So you have to have that to sit for that bar. Yeah, there's a lot of money out there in holding patents, just like people do on trademarks. Think about when Tom Brady went to the Bucks. A lot of people started filing trademarks for Tom Brady's name in Tampa, trying to beat Tom to it. The Washington Redskins right now. One of their biggest issues is they had to go around other people owning trademarks for the Washington football teams.
Or like whatever they wanted, stuff.
Washington Seminoles. People just kind of filed everything for merchandise.
Can you imagine if they went from the Washington Redskins to the Washington Seminoles? They're like, oh, isn't that kind of...
Like, yes, well, now we're just using the formal name.
What a shitstorm that would be. They should just be the Washington Whoopsies. At this point. Oh, man. All right. So a lot of those patents, I don't know what they're going to do with their own Siri. That, to me, sounds like a waste of time and money. But it'll be interesting to see. The one about the voice is going to be... Oh, well, I mean, it probably just goes hand in hand, right? Hey, we just got the voice one. So sooner or later, we're going to want people to say, hey, Spotify, play this. Might as well just do it all now. I guess, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. But...
They have one built in now. You can search by voice now. But they want... I'm guessing it's probably just more interactive. Like maybe you're listening to headphones and an ad pops up and it's like, listen to Taylor Swift's new album. Just say, hey, Spotify, play album, and it will play.
Right.
You can't say that now when you listen to your music, but that could be annoying. I'm going to walk around the streets just yelling, hey, Spotify, so everyone's music stops. That's how you can get, there's an idea for you guys want marketing ideas. When this happens, run up and down people listening to headphones and go, hey, Spotify, play my new release.
Oh, man. All right. Well, if you want more information about things like this and things that might impact you and your music business, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Listen to some other podcasts where we go in to a lot of topics like this. Yep. I think we're going to call it a day.
Yep, I agree.
I think we're going to call it. And if you have any questions, if you're still listening, shoot us an email to cr@denovoagency.com. Check the Business of Music podcast on wherever you stream your podcasts, Apple Music or Spotify. Do it on Apple Music. We might get paid a little bit more. Actually, one last thing I'll say, because we can talk about this in the next episode, is Apple, I think it was, is releasing some sort of like exclusive podcast platform where people like us can host a show and sell memberships to it or something like that. Essentially kind of like if you want to listen to Howard Stern, you have to be a member of Sirius and you pay a subscription to have it. So Apple Music is that's something that they're rolling out. And I really believe podcasts are just now getting mainstream. Even though they've been around for a long time, now they're like, almost everyone has at least one favorite podcast that they like. I don't think that was the case 3 years ago, even. So I think podcasts are becoming really popular, even especially now with COVID. Everyone's got a fucking podcast. Look at our two dumb fucks. But that's going to be, we'll talk about that in the next episode. That'll be episode 28 of the Business of Music podcast. We'll see you there.
The Business of Music podcast, presented by DeNovo Agency. DeNovoAgency.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Business of Music podcast. We love to hear feedback. Shoot us an email to contact@denovoagency.com so we can answer your questions on the next episode. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel to learn even more and check out denovoagency.com to see how we can help you grow your music business. Until next time, this has been the Business of Music.